I'm Barry Goff, professor of history, colleague of Graham Mount of Laurentian University's Department of History in Sudbury, Ontario. And it's my pleasure to be able to read his last contribution. We're sorry it's his last, but it's his last contribution to a podcast series dealing with the places which may be living on borrowed time. He's done several of these, the city of Milia in Spanish North Africa, and the Principality of Monaco, a short drive or train trip from the border between France and Italy. This podcast deals with Odessa, Ukraine's jewel on the Black Sea. Who knows what will happen there before the return of peace between Russia and Ukraine, Graham asks. For photographs and references, see my recently published book, Historical Pictures, Photos of Places in Transition, published early 2025 by Telwell in Toronto. My wife, Joan, and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary on the 27th of June, 2014, with a cruise around the Black Sea. The cruise began and ended in Istanbul. When we booked in December 2013, we were supposed to stop at Yalta and Sevastopol on the Crimean Peninsula, Odessa on the Ukrainian mainland, Constanza in Romania, and Nazibar in Bulgaria. In February 2014, angry demonstrators in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, forced the resignation of the country's pro-Russian president, Viktor Yanukovych. In March, almost soon as the Winter Olympics in Sochi ended, Russian forces invaded the Crimean Peninsula, which Russian President Vladimir Putin annexed. In other words, Crimea ceased to be part of Ukraine, as it had been since 1954, and it became part of Russia. Most residents of Odessa are ethnic Russians. Rarely, when empires or multinational countries dissolve, do all the people of one ethnicity or persuasion find themselves on one side of a line and everyone of another on the other side. If Canada were to dissolve, think of how many persons would be split by such an arrangement as this. On the 2nd of May, 2014, Ukrainian nationalists attacked some militant Russians. The Russians took shelter in the trade union building, which the Ukrainian nationalists set on fire. An estimated 31 to 42 Russians died, either through smoke inhalation or by jumping from a high window. Not surprisingly, these developments forced changes in our itinerary. Most Western governments, including that of Canada, refused to recognize the Russian conquest of Ukrainian territory. And our cruise line, registered in the Bahamas, changed the planned stops in Sevastopol and Yalta to stops on Turkey's Anatolian Peninsula. Whether we would be able to stop at Odessa remained a question until the day before our arrival. Odessa had a history of violence. Would violence between the ethnic Russians and ethnic Ukrainians prove too dangerous for us? When we arrived, we had the impression that we were the first tourists to visit Odessa since the events of 2 May. A large restaurant where we had a coffee break had no guests other than ourselves. Yet our English-speaking guide, an ethnic Russian as well as a university professor, described Odessa as a city of humor, and her jokes are worthy of repeating. Number one. As early as 15 years earlier, food was in such short supply that people had to queue. Yet women had two problems. A, how to buy food? And B, how do I lose weight? Second joke. Ukraine had both publicly financed and privately financed Medicare. If you wanted to live, you should pay your doctor. If you did not want to be toothless, you should pay your dentist. Number three, Hitler would die a second death if he knew that in 2014, the German government was asking the Russian government not to kill Ukrainians. 4. An Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Russian were debating the nationality of Adam and Eve. They must have been English, said the Englishman. Only in England would a couple share an apple, the Frenchman disagreed. They must have been French, he said. Only in France would an apple have been at the center of a love affair. The Russian insisted. They must have been Russian. They were naked. They had only one apple. Yet they thought they were in paradise. Armies of Catherine the Great, Empress of England, from 1762 to 1796, seized what is now Odessa from the Turks and reconstructed it along modern lines. One of her advisors suggested that it be named Odesson, the name of an early Greek settlement. Catherine liked the idea, but thought Odesson too masculine. She changed it to Odessa. In December 2022, 10 months after the Russian invasion, authorities in Russia removed a statue of Catherine and stored it in the basement of a museum. In response to Putin's denial of a separate Ukrainian culture, not one really a part of the legacy, Russian legacy, Ukrainians destroyed books written by Russians and removed statues of the Russian author Alexander Pushkin. Catherine also fell victim to Ukraine's de-Russification campaign. How much of Odessa will survive the present war between Russia and Ukraine? One of the urban planners was Catherine's lover, Grigory Alexandrovich Potemkin. Anyone arriving by sea would climb the Potemkin steps in order to enter the city. After the Russian invasion of 2022, the Ukrainian army closed the steps as a precaution. Odessa has a rich musical tradition. The Duke of Richelieu, a relative of the Cardinal Richelieu, after whose name a river in Quebec is named, directed construction of an early 19th century opera house. Journalist Luke Harding of the British newspaper The Guardian reported that the Ukrainian army had surrounded Odessa's opera and ballet theater with sandbags, its French Rococo exterior visible from beyond a heavily guarded cordon. For protection, authorities in Odessa boarded up important historical monuments. On the 31st of January 2025, multiple Russian missiles hit Odessa's historic center, in the process damaging the Odessa Philharmonic Concert Hall. Reuters news agency reported that many of the windows were smashed, fragments were strewn on a street near the opulent opera house. The British Navy shelled the city of the Crimean War of 1854. In Tsarist times, ending 1917, Odessa's Jewish community fell victim to pogroms. Civilians were massacred during the Russian Civil War following the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. From October 1941 until April 1944, Romanian forces allied to Nazi Germany occupied the city and almost annihilated its substantial Jewish population. In January 2023, the United Nations Economic and Social Council, UNESCO, declared Odessa the 8th World Heritage Site in Ukraine. According to Globe and Mail reporter Eric Regley, UNESCO did so because it regarded Odessa, the pearl of the Black Sea, in danger. UNESCO hoped that this new classification for Odessa might discourage Russia from shelling the city again. The Russians could still do it, but an attack by a UNESCO member, Russia, on a UNESCO heritage site would certainly heap international opprobrium on the Kremlin. Oleksandr Tkachenko, Ukraine's Minister of Culture and head of his country's delegation at the UNESCO meeting in Paris, said the Russian delegates objected to the vote on Odessa. Nor did the vote prevent subsequent Russian action. On 21 March 2023, In the immediate aftermath of a visit to Moscow by Chinese leader Xi Jinping, Russian missiles from the Black Sea struck Odessa. For successive nights in late July, Russia's military bombarded Odessa. One of the targets was Odessa's cathedral. This defiance of world opinion took place after Ukrainian drones damaged the Kerch Bridge, which links Russia with the Russian-occupied Crimean Peninsula, and after Russia's government repudiated a deal arranged by the United Nations and Turkish authorities to permit shipping of Russian wheat, most of it from the port of Odessa, across the Black Sea and to customers in other parts of the world. The very next day, Russians bombed the port of Odessa. On 29 December 2023, Russian attacks killed at least 53 people in Odessa after five other Ukrainian cities. Seven people, including a three-month-old baby, died on the 2nd of March 2024 when a Russian drone demolished an apartment block. Days later, when Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis were visiting Odessa, a Russian missile landed near them. Two Russian missiles hit urban Odessa on the 15th of March and killed an estimated 20 people, some of them first responders and a medical student who had rushed to the site of the first strike, only to be killed by the second. As Odessans celebrated Easter weekend in 2024, their city had both good news and bad news. The good news was that Russia had lost so many warships in its Black Sea fleet that international vessels could sail in and from Odessa. Such commerce was vital to Ukraine's economy, especially after the loss of ports on the Crimean Peninsula and the shores of the Azov Sea. The bad news was that incessant bombing had rendered the city's electrical supply unreliable and inflicted such enormous psychological damage upon fearful, sleep-deprived residents that they were leaving Ukraine for more peaceful destinations in Europe and North America. The exodus was a steady leak, not a flood, but a slow death of a thousand cuts. In 2014, our guide in Odessa told us another joke. After Russia's invasion and annexation of the Crimean Peninsula, home to many ethnic Russians, an Odessan phoned a cousin in Israel that warned, "We must not speak Russian." "Why not?" asked the cousin. "Because Putin may come to liberate us." This is no longer a joke. According to Trochenko, one of the Russian officials at the Paris meeting actually stood up and sang a patriotic song about Odessa. And so closes Graham Mount's Travels in Search of History, this portion about the visit to Odessa.